Hey, everybody. Thanks for being a member and for tuning in. A few notes before we get on to the show. First, tomorrow, April 30th, that's a Saturday, at 11 a.m., I'll be doing my second video meet and greet via Ustream. So if you want to be a part of that, it is 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and you can go to jimherald.net and find out the details. Also, I would recommend if you want to interact via chat or webcam during the webcast, to sign up for a free account at ustream.tv. That's ustream.tv. It is free. And it worked very well during our last meet and greet, which was a lot of fun. So I hope you'll be able to join me 11 a.m. tomorrow, Saturday. And that's Eastern Time, U.S. We wanted to make it that time. If folks couldn't do it on a weekday, or maybe they're in Europe or around the world, it might be a little more convenient time. Secondly, I also wanted to mention, due to the nature of this show, I am not a doctor, nor do I play one on podcasts. I just thought this was a fascinating topic with a fascinating guest. So just be aware that none of our podcasts, no production of Jim Herald Media, claims to give any medical advice. And of course, before you do anything, consult your medical authority of choice. Hope you enjoy the show. I don't buy every conspiracy theory out there. In fact, you might say I'm a curious skeptic. But there is just enough evidence to consider the possibility that the powers that be are manipulating us like so many pawns on a chessboard. That's why we hear the theories out on Jim Herald's Conspiracy Corner. Well, welcome to the Conspiracy Corner. I'm Jim Herald. So glad to be with you once again. Thank you for being a member of my Plus Club. I really appreciate it. And one thing that I really love about this Plus Club is being able to do something a little bit different. And certainly tonight falls into that category, but I think you'll find this fascinating because I think that we've got some very important information to share. My guest is Tom Naughton. He is the writer, producer, director of Fathead. You've been fed a ton of baloney. And let me explain. Many of you may be familiar with that documentary, Super Size Me, from a few years back by Morgan Spurlock, I believe it was, and how he put out the case that Americans are getting fat because of fast food and the evils of saturated fat. And Tom Naughton, who is a comedian, a writer, said, I'm going to take a look at the other side of this. I'm going to try to do a diet with, I believe it was fast food and McDonald's only. And I'm going to see how it turns out. See if I get the same results or maybe quite different ones. And that's why, and I just had the privilege to watch the program on Netflix a couple of weeks ago. And I found it absolutely riveting. And it might seem kind of funny, and it certainly is funny in places, but I think there's some more in-depth information that that we'll share with Tom. So Tom Naughton, comedian, writer, documentarian, welcome to the Conspiracy Corner.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me.
So what inspired you to do this documentary, Fathead?
You know, it's interesting. I didn't start out to do this. I wanted to do sort of a funny think piece on how we treat fat people in American society. Fat people are one of the last remaining groups where it's still kind of okay to be prejudiced against them. I started doing research into that topic. I finally watched Super Size Me as part of my research. And by the time it was over, I had already decided I was going to do a documentary reply.
And what specifically kind of got under your skin about Super Size Me?
There are a couple of things. One, when he said the line, and I don't know if this is the exact quote, but something like, where does personal responsibility end and corporate responsibility begin? My attitude was, when it comes to what you put in your mouth, personal responsibility never ends. You always have the decision to make, what am I going to feed myself? So that annoyed me. Also, in addition to the other things I do, I'm a computer programmer. I'm very good with math. And I noticed immediately that when Spurlock was talking about, I'm going to eat according to these rules, well, once his dietitian started telling him how many calories a day he was consuming, it became obvious to me immediately he wasn't following those rules. He wasn't observing anything close to those rules. He was eating way more than his own rules would have allowed because he wanted to get fat to make an impressive documentary.
And here's where it really gets interesting, because we'll talk a little bit about your own experiment and so forth. But what I found, and I thought that was fascinating on two different levels. It was fascinating on the level of your experience kind of doing a McDonald's / fast food diet and your results, but also kind of the deeper layer that it uncovered. But I guess maybe we should start with, what were your rules and what did you do for that month? What was your diet?
My diet was, I'm going to eat all fast food. That was my rule. Now, I was familiar enough with some aspects of nutrition science that I knew I would lose weight most successfully if I limited my carbohydrates, which, of course, I get into in much more detail later in the film. But if I limited my carbohydrates, set a calorie target, and this is important, and this is the part that blows people away, to get most of my calories from protein and fat, not from carbohydrates, which we've all been told for years is where we should get most of our energy. That is simply not true. So I made those adjustments to my diet. I still ate plenty of food. You've seen the film. You know, I wasn't starving myself, and I wasn't.
No, not at all.
And I wasn't living on the salads. And so because I adopted those rules, my results were, of course, much, much different from his.
Well, let's get to the part of the broader question then, and then we can come back to a little bit of your individual results. It sounds like we've been fed a bill of goods, as it were, a dietary bill of goods, in terms of the dangers of fat as opposed to carbohydrates. What were your findings?
You know, that is actually sort of the beginning of a whole cascade of mistakes that led us to the point we are today. The primary mistake was pointing the finger at dietary fat as the cause of heart disease. That was never true. It was based on bad science and faulty reasoning from the very beginning. And that, unfortunately, has led to all the other problems we see today, because people changed their diets in a way that was not necessary and was ultimately harmful. So I started figuring this out when I began doing research for the film. Since I was going to go on a fast food diet and my intention was to lose weight, I thought I'd better get into some of the nutrition science of this. So gotta love the digital age. You can do a ton of research without ever leaving your home office, in my case. And the more I started reading up, the more I began to realize just so much of what we have been told about what constitutes a healthy diet is just flat out not true. So I would see these references to the whole saturated fat theory of heart disease is wrong. I would follow those links. I'd follow more links. I'd follow more links. I ended up reading academic papers. I ended up ordering books that I saw recommended. And I mean, I think my wife probably got sick of me yelling from across the house, "You got to come and read this. We've been lied to." But it was really eye-opening for me, and I kind of had a suspicion that some of the dietary advice we'd all been following was not exactly true. I just didn't realize quite how bad it really is until I really started doing a lot of research on my own.
Well, from what you presented, the movie, at some point, the current thinking on dietary health by the mainstream will go up with the annals of bleeding by leeches.
It has to. I mean, it's the evidence is becoming overwhelming. We're still in that resistance phase. I don't know if you're familiar with a book called The Structure of Scientific Revolutions. But I'm sure you've heard, though, the term paradigm shift.
Oh, yeah.
OK, well, that phrase or that term came from that book. It was written by a scientist named Thomas Kuhn. And briefly, what he pointed out is that science gets shaped by paradigms. We think we understand how something works. That understanding of how it works shapes the research we conduct, the equipment we build to conduct the research we want to conduct, et cetera, et cetera. All the thinking and the science is guided by a paradigm. Once a paradigm has become established, it takes an overwhelming amount of evidence before scientists will shift their thinking and say, wait a minute, this is incorrect. We then have the famous term, a paradigm shift. We're in that resistance phase right now. The paradigm has been high-fat diets give you heart disease and kill you. It is wrong. The evidence that it is wrong is beginning to pile up. But right now, we're still in the phase Kuhn describes where the old guard is resisting admitting that they've been wrong.
So That's a key question, because you have to think about, if you think of dietitians and physicians and the medical establishment, I mean, ostensibly, you know, we all know our family doctors. They seem like pretty good people for the most part. I think most of us would say when we interface with our doctor, hopefully we have somebody who we believe has our best interests at heart. And you even see a little bit of that in your own,
sure,
in your own interaction with your physician. So is it a case that they just don't know any better?
It is a case they don't know any better. And I'm glad you brought that up, because there are some kooks out there who write books who basically say, oh, your doctors know all this, but they want to keep you sick because that keeps you, you know, coming back as a customer. I think that's just nonsense. You saw my doctor in the film. He's a nice guy. He cared about me. He wasn't trying to make me sick. He was just misinformed. And this is one of the things that was really eye-opening for me. Before going into the film, I assumed, as I think most people do, that doctors are knowledgeable about nutrition. It was interesting, however, when I started interviewing doctors for the film, they all told me the same thing. Nutrition in medical school is basically one course that you go to maybe a couple hours a week for one semester. It's a fluff course. Nobody cares about it. And the way one doctor put it to me was, you might as well take nutrition advice from your plumber. He's probably learned as much about it as your doctor has.
That's great. That's a great line. I mean, I love, I'm looking at your website here, fathead-movie.com, and under the title Big Fat Fiasco, How the Misguided Fear of Saturated Fat and Cholesterol Create a Nation of Obese Diabetics. Now, I get the sense it has, but you tell me, when you did this, did you expect it to take off like this?
You know, it surprised me now, because we put this DVD out on the market 2 years ago, and it was sort of flying under the radar for a long time. We got a consistent number of sales. It was never very money. It just kept going along, going along, going along. Then number one, it went out on Hulu and promptly went to number one in the documentary category. In fact, a few days ago, it was number three in the all movies category. And then it went on Netflix Instant Play, and it's just gone bananas since then. It is really, for us, it's as if the film were just released.
Yeah, I've got to believe that, because, I mean, first of all, I'm a huge fan of Netflix streaming and the Roku box. I have the Roku box, so I can watch Ryan on TV. And we were flipping around. My wife and I had watched Super Size Me a couple of years back, and we said, what's this all about? And I think that's probably what's happened with a lot of people.
Yeah, it's really been a pleasant surprise after being out there for 2 years. And, you know, we said, it is what it is. We're getting a few sales. My blog was becoming increasingly popular. We were happy about that. And then when the film just all of a sudden took off in the last 3-4 months, it was a really pleasant surprise.
So let's talk a little bit more about your results. Now, obviously, we want people to watch the movie, because I think that's where you're going to get the lion's share of the information. It's very well done. It's very funny. I love some of the man on the street interviews that you do, kind of Steve Allen / Jay Leno style.
Oh, that was great, because you can't script those. You don't know what people are going to say.
And,
you know, those were some long shooting days. And literally sometimes I would be reviewing footage at midnight, and I would start laughing my head off because I'd forgotten some of what people said. Some of those people were great.
Oh yeah, they were. They were absolutely great. But I mean, what were some of the key points, some of the results that you had from your 30-day experiment with fast food?
Well, what was interesting was I did lose weight, which I expected. My body fat went down, which I expected. What was interesting was my overall cholesterol went down. Now, the only negative effect that I showed was my HDL, or so-called good cholesterol, did come down somewhat. And I realized later, as I continued doing research, that was caused by trans fats in the fast food. So one of the conclusions that I tried to bring out in the movie is you can eat fast food without making yourself sick and obese. But by the way, trans fats really are as bad as everyone says.
But it's interesting, in the movie, you point out, where did the push for fast food come from to go to trans fats?
Oh, that's what was fascinating. Some of your listeners may have heard of this group, because they're always showing up in the media, the Center for Science and the Public Interest. They're quoted in the media all the time. The only problem with that name is what they do is not in the public interest, and it's not based on science. They're basically a radical vegetarian group, and they can't stand that anything anywhere is made out of animal products. So they, for years, were one of the groups that declared that saturated fat is bad for you, and they were pushing hydrogenated vegetable oils as the safe alternative. They even in their newsletters, if you go back and look at them from years ago, they were even poo-pooing the idea that there was anything wrong with trans fats when it first came out that trans fats are dangerous. So they basically pushed the fast food restaurants, the movie theaters, and a lot of other food purveyors into switching to trans fats, put a lot of pressure on them to do that. Years later, when it came out that trans fats are actually dangerous, they then turned around and began suing restaurants for frying food in trans fats.
Interesting.
Without ever saying, by the way, we were wrong and sorry we pushed you into this.
It's interesting. Another thing you show in the movie is this idea of politicians pushing the dietary agenda of America, which, similar to that plumber, I don't think they'd be particularly skilled at knowing what's good for us and what's not.
No, they're not. And it's one of the many reasons that, frankly, there's a lot of debate among various, health blogs and health communities. Should the government recommend this? Should the government recommend that? You know, my attitude is, why do we need the federal government telling us what to eat in the first place? Number one, I don't think it's their job. And number two, they don't get the advice right very often. And this is a really unfortunate case where mostly people took advice from their doctors, their grandmother, the man on the street. People kind of generally figured it out. It was not until the 1970s that the federal government decided we need to tell Americans how to eat. That led to the formation of George McGovern's Senate Nutrition Committee. And that committee ultimately was the organization that put us on the path toward saturated fat will kill you. Everybody should be on a low fat diet. Everyone should be basing their diet on grains. They heard an awful lot of conflicting evidence at their hearings. You can go back and check the record. There were doctors who were trying to tell them, you don't have any evidence for this. You're wrong. You should not be recommending this. But McGovern was thinking like a politician. He wanted to come to a consensus. Well, consensus is great for politics, but it's lousy for science. You don't determine scientific truth by how many people believe in it. And he basically came to his consensus, which was the low-fat diet, the grain-based diet. And at that point, because the government was now behind it, it kind of became the position that everybody had to adopt if they didn't want to wonder, if they didn't want to worry about where their next research grant was coming from.
You talked earlier about the idea of a paradigm shift. Do you see any cracks? I mean, certainly your documentary, I think, display some maybe cracks into the feet of this kind of statue of clay. Of course, a few years ago, a very popular diet, which has actually fallen somewhat out of favor now, but Atkins was extremely popular a few years back. What are your hopes? What are your thoughts on there being this paradigm shift and things actually kind of turning around in the other direction of it?
I think the paradigm shift is absolutely coming, if it's not already starting to turn that way. One of the great things, like I said, about the digital age is that anybody can go out on the internet and do research. I remember when I was a journalism major in college, and I remember at the time, keep in mind, this is the early 80s, one of my professors telling us about the importance of the information gatekeepers. If you want to change public opinion, you have to change the minds of the information gatekeepers first, because there are only so many media outlets.
Exactly.
That's just flat out not true anymore.
Correct.
There are no gatekeepers to speak of anymore. And there's so much information out there now that people who are trying the old traditional diet and it's not working, they go out on the internet and they can find thousands of sources of information. And I think the paradigm is shifting, but it's interesting. This time, the movement is coming from the bottom up. It starts with some bloggers, some doctors who have their own blogs. There are bloggers who have, absolutely embarrassed some PhDs in public by pointing out the flaws in their research and in their studies. And the change is coming, and we're finally even seeing people like Walter Willett at Harvard, because Harvard was, in the vanguard of the anti-fat hysteria for many years. Even Walter Willett at Harvard has recently said it was a mistake to focus on fat. That was not the problem.
Well, it's interesting because something has to be going on. Of course, and I think one of the experts in your movie points out that we live a relatively, most of us, or many of us, live a relatively sedentary lifestyle as opposed to our predecessors, because most of us have jobs in a cube.
Right.
Or many of us do. So we don't do hard, demanding physical labor. But one senses that there's something else in particular when you think about the diabetes explosion. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the diabetes explosion is, I would say, 80 to 90% of it was caused by a shift in diet. Now, remaining active can help you to a certain extent avoid diabetes. But I know people, I even have one in my family, a very active guy, a lean guy, an athletic guy. This was certainly not a problem in his case of not exercising enough and not keeping his weight down. And yet he became a type 2 diabetic. Why? Because he ate too many refined carbohydrates, and he thought he could get away with it because he was a lean guy. We have vastly increased the number of carbohydrates in our diet, the proportion of carbohydrates in our diet. On top of that, more of the carbohydrates we consume are refined. And even worse than that, more and more of the carbohydrates we consume are based in fructose, which has direct impacts on the liver that can lead to diabetes. So, I mean, it's been a dietary shift. That's where this is coming from. That's why you're seeing diabetes in 12-year-olds now, type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, and it seems like almost like a perfect storm, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So going forward, I mean, with this success of this movie, particularly in the last several months, I love this story of, this is something that I got the sense you did this on your own dime in your own time, and you've become a very popular documentarian. You didn't have, a big studio or something behind you, and it's very much what we do is independent content creation. So I just love your story. If you had done a documentary on cars, but I do think this is an important message to get out. But what is the next step? I see that you're doing some speaking engagements on these themes. How are you going to carry this on?
Speaking is probably the next phase for now. A lot of people have said, are you going to make another documentary? And I just tell them, honestly, no, not unless someone else is going to finance it. Because, I did that once, and you can only endure so many sleepless nights in your life wondering if you just made a huge mistake, So I won't do another one unless I'm writing and producing, but someone else is bankrolling it. However, speaking gigs are simply an investment of my time. I enjoy doing speaking. I don't remember if you mentioned this early on, I actually spent several years as a traveling stand-up comedian. I enjoy being in front of audiences, and I take care to put a lot of humor in my speeches, because just like the film, I want the information to get out there, but I believe if people are entertained, they're more likely to stay awake and absorb the information. So speaking is going to be a big part of it. Probably the next big project I'm going to take on is, my wife is an artist. She drew most of the graphics for Fathead. We're planning to, at some point, sit down and create an illustrated book for parents and kids to explain how the foods you eat affect your body at sort of a biochemical level, but in an easy visual way that people can understand. People need to understand how a 12-year-old becomes a type 2 diabetic, and we want our book to explain that.
Well, that sounds like a very worthy project. And what is the reaction to people when they hear this? I mean, certainly you've probably gotten good feedback through the film, but I'm curious, when you're out and about and you're speaking and you're talking to people about this, do you have people to come up to you afterwards and say blank? What do they say to you about it?
They say things like, I'm stunned. Oh my goodness, you have to be kidding. Or, thank you, thank you, thank you. I finally understand why all these diets I went on failed, why I ended up fatter than when I started. So I get a lot of gratitude type of reactions. Not so much when I'm speaking, because people who come to hear me speak have an idea of, what I'm going to talk about. So they tend to be sort of a partisan audience. reactions on the film have been overwhelmingly positive because, you know, if you've seen it on Netflix, you read the description, you kind of had some sense of what you were going to get. What's interesting is there's that extremely vocal minority, shall we put it, of the radical vegetarians or the I hate McDonald's crowd who have extremely strong reactions to the film, which I fully expected. I told my wife long before we finished it and put it out there, I said, you know, you're going to have to be prepared for some serious hate mail or some serious hate comments, because there are people out there, if you just say McDonald's, they're apoplectic already.
Right. It's kind of like saying Walmart.
Yeah, bingo. Bingo.
I do have to ask, as we close this out, and certainly we want to talk about where folks can go to get their own copy of the movie and your websites and so forth. But in terms of your journey with your diet, and I know after you went off of the fast food diet, you did a modified kind of carb restrictive diet, I believe. And you said in the movie that it was going quite well. How has all that worked out for you?
Yeah, I actually went on the second diet because even though I'd read a lot of convincing evidence that what is known as the lipid hypothesis is wrong, the lipid hypothesis being that saturated fat raises your cholesterol and then the elevated cholesterol clogs your arteries. I read the evidence that that was wrong. I believed it was wrong. But it was one of those things you've heard for so many years, there's still that part of you going, can this actually be wrong? And one of the doctors I interviewed said, look, prove it to yourself. Cut the sugar and starch out of your diet for a month. Eat as much fat as you want, the caveat being it has to be natural fat. No hydrogenated corn oil, no soybean oil, none of the fats that human beings did not consume until about 100 years ago. Eat a lot of fat, see what happens. So I did. My cholesterol went down quite a bit. My HDL shot up. My LDL went down. My triglycerides went down. For people who don't understand what those terms mean, basically it means my cholesterol profile improved a lot. And that was eating steaks, bacon, sausage, eggs, cheese, all the things that we have been told are going to kill us. So that was really eye-opening for me. Since doing that diet, since completing the film, I've gravitated towards more of what we would call a paleo diet. I don't know if you're familiar with that term.
No, I've heard of it.
Well, in a nutshell, it means you're trying to mimic as best we can in modern times the diet that our Paleolithic ancestors consumed. It means we're getting rid of the grains, we're getting rid of the sugar, we eat little or no dairy. In my case, it's little because I don't want to get rid of it completely, and we focus our diet on the meats, the seafood, the green vegetables, the low sugar fruits, nuts, things that your Paleolithic ancestors would have recognized as food. I've gone much more that way now, and the results have been great.
Well, that's good to hear, because I know you expressed early in the program that, you know, you had your own struggles, and I'm sure that inspired you to find out for your own health. And it's good to hear that, you know, you've kind of not only talked the talk, but you kind of walked the walk and you found something. And certainly, I think you make it clear that it probably isn't the absolute best thing for you to eat at any fast food place every single day of your life. On the other hand, you're not going to drop over dead if you have a hamburger.
No, and the point I was trying to make was, no, of course, you know, who wants to live on a fast food diet? It's not the best food in the world. The point I was trying to make was, I know Super Size Me was an entertaining film. It was entertaining. I enjoyed watching it. But you don't solve a problem by shooting at the wrong target. And blaming McDonald's or the fast food industry in general for what has happened to our waistlines and to our rates of diabetes is just flat out shooting at the wrong target.
Well, I do have to say, and I don't want to be a spoiler, but there's a great scene that you have where you stand out in front of various fast food places to determine if anybody from the corporation is forcing people to go in and eat.
Well, exactly, because that was when he said, well, where does personal responsibility end and corporate responsibility begin? It's like, hello, I'm the one walking in the door. I'm the one placing the order. It is always personal responsibility.
Well, I think that's the great note to end it on. And I'm sure that I'll get some positive comments on this show and maybe some not so positive, but I really enjoyed the film and I wish you continued luck. Where can folks go if they want to find out more about the documentary Fathead and about Tom Naughton?
Best place would just be to go to the blog. It's www.fathead-movie.com. healthandnutrition.com. I still write 2 to 3 articles per week on health and nutrition. I'm a comedian, so a lot of my articles have a little humorous twist to them. There are clips of the film there. There's information on ordering the film. Pretty much anything you'd want to know, you can find it at that site.
Well, thank you for joining us on the Conspiracy Corner. Not normally the thing that you think about when it's a conspiracy show, but I thought it was so fascinating I wanted to have you on, and it is something that affects every day of our lives. Thank you, Tom Naughton.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you for listening to the Conspiracy Corner and for being a Plus Club member. We appreciate it, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.